Good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Appreciate your presence very much. Appreciate good Bible study and the singing and the prayers. We'd like to study this morning on the subject of the fruit of the Spirit. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, writing to Christians at Galatia, he mentions the works of the flesh, adultery, and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. He numbers several sins here, and he says that those who commit these sins, to continue in these sins, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we as Christians are not to walk after the flesh, be guilty of the works of the flesh, any of these sins. If any sin that we commit, we must repent of them and ask God's forgiveness. We notice here the fruit of the Spirit, a very important teaching here, the Apostle Paul, fruit that we as Christians are to bear. In Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." We know that the flesh lusts against the Spirit. We have a fleshly body. We are a spirit with a fleshly body. And this fleshly body lusts after things that we should not lust after. They're in opposition against each other. The flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. The spirit wants to do what is right. Our spirit wants to do the will of God. In Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." You cannot do the things you would, that you might want to do. Things that this fleshly body would lust after. He says you cannot do those things. There's a constant battle between the flesh and the Spirit. If we follow the lust of the flesh, we cannot do the will of the Spirit. The flesh pulls in one direction, but the Spirit would have us to go in another direction. Christians must serve the Spirit. If led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. That is, there's no condemnation when we walk after the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 18 says, "But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." That is, it's condemnation. As long as we walk after the Spirit, we're not going to be condemned by God. Galatians 5, verse 23 says, "Gentleness and self-control, against such there is no law." The fruits of the Spirit that we read about, there is no condemnation to those who bear this fruit of the Spirit. As Christians, we have crucified the flesh. We have put to death the old man of sin. We now live a new life. In baptism, we crucify that fleshly body. Galatians 5, verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." Romans 6, verses 3 through 6, Paul wrote, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so this old man, old body, has been crucified, and we do not serve sin. We serve God. Romans 6, verse 11 and 12. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And so we as Christians, children of God, we're not to continue in sin. Sometimes we make mistakes and we do wrong, but we should quickly repent and ask God's forgiveness. Since we're made alive by the Spirit, again in baptism, it's only fitting that we should walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so it's not any works or righteousness that we can do on our own, but it's through God's righteousness. And it's through his mercy that we're saved. This washing of regeneration is referring to baptism, when our sins were washed away in the blood of Christ. We must walk in the Spirit, thereby producing the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, if I walk in the Spirit, I'm going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. When a person walks in the Spirit, they'll show evidence of such by the fruit that is born. What that fruit is, we're going to examine, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit includes love. Yes, God is love. God so loved us, he gave his Son. Jesus loved us, he gave his life. And we as Christians are to have that love in our hearts for our fellow man, for one another. Love is active goodwill, best exemplified by God the Father and Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Yes, God teaches us to love one another. He loved us so much. In 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How much love, he says, we should have for one another. Jesus laid down his life for us. He says, you should lay down your life for one another. Would we be willing to give our life to save our brother or sister? In 1 John 4 and verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love in the life of a Christian. We are to walk in love. In Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Love one another. We're to love one another fervently. The word fervently means be sincere in our love. Not just go through the motions, but not just in word, but in deed and in truth. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. With a pure heart fervently, sincerely, love one another. do we manifest that we walk by the Spirit in regards to our love. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Also, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, gladness, delight, especially in response to God's grace. Christians are happy people. We have joy in our hearts. In Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be happy. Rejoice. John 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. And so Jesus wants us to have this joy in our hearts. He says, my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full or complete. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, rejoice with joy unspeakable. Yes, the joy is so great it's hard to describe. In 1 Peter 4, verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Yes, the early Christians rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. The joy the Spirit produces, it's a gift from God. In Romans 15, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, the joy that God gives us. It's a blessing to sustain us in time of persecution. Yes, even in persecution and affliction, we can have this joy in knowing that we're children of God. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And so Paul writes to them about their affliction, but he says, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Those led by the Spirit will produce the fruit of joy in their lives. Yes, Christians are happy people. We rejoice in Christ. Also, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace is harmony, concord with God, man, and self, made possible by Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Christians are peacemakers. We live in peace. In Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul says, be careful for nothing. That is, don't be anxious, don't worry, he says, about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so Paul says, instead of worrying about things, go to God in prayer. And he says, God will give you that peace that passeth understanding. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. But have that peace of mind, peace with God. Yes, these are virtues that find their source in God, love, joy, and peace. Also, the fruit of the Spirit incorporates long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience, self-restraint in the face of provocation. Yes, being able to suffer long. To be patient. In Luke 23 and verse 34, Jesus, while he was hanging there on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is long suffering. He was bleeding. He had been beaten over and over, mocked and spit on and nailed to the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Stephen is an example of long suffering. They cast him out of the city and they threw stones at him. In verse 60 of Acts 7 says, and he kneeled down, he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. They threw stones at him and he died. But he was long suffering. God is long suffering. He's patient with us. It might that we might have salvation. God wants everyone to be saved. He wants you and I to be saved. He wants us to go to heaven. And he's being patient with us. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God is long-suffering. He's patient. If we want God to be patient with us, we must be patient with others. Do we manifest that we walk in the Spirit in regards to long-suffering? Are we patient with one another? Kindness. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Sweetness of temper that places others at ease, born of mercy. Yes, Christians are a kind people, kind to one another. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so here's a picture of a Christian, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, it says, love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. And so love is kind. If we love one another, we're going to be kind to one another. Kindness in the life of the Christian. It's the part of the Christian garment that we're to put on. It's like a new garment that we put on when we become Christians. Do we act with kindness toward others so that others are at ease in our presence? So that others feel that they can draw close to us? Do we manifest that we walk by the Spirit in regard to kindness? Yes, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Also, the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, a good person, benevolence, kindness in action. Not only are we kind, but we're willing to do good in helping others, in doing for others. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do good, he says, to all men, especially Christians. Acts 9 and verse 36. Now there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. In verse 39 says, then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Yes, she went about doing good. She made clothes and gave to others. Peter raised her back to life. Yes, these are virtues that reach out to others. The fruit of the Spirit integrates faithfulness. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The virtue of reliability, dependable, trustworthy. A faithful Christian is reliable, dependable, and trustworthy. You can believe what they say. In Luke 16, verse 10 through 12, says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And so a faithful person is faithful in the small things as well as the bigger things. If I'm not faithful in doing the small things, then I'm certainly not going to be faithful in doing the bigger things. Faithfulness is essential for those who would receive that crown of life. In Revelation 2 and 10, the last part of that verse, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Be faithful. You know, Jesus rebuked his disciples. He said, oh, ye of little faith, are we faithful? We're to use our talents in God's service. Be faithful in doing what we can, gaining more talents, duties to the church, being at the assembly, and the work that is to be done. Are we faithful? Are we reliable in doing those things that we've been appointed to do? Our duties as parents, are we faithful? Parents, spouses, are we faithful to one another and faithful to God? Children, are you faithful? Do we manifest that we walk by the Spirit in regards to faithfulness? Yes, can another say that truly that you're a faithful Christian, that you're reliable and dependable? Yes, gentleness also is the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness or meekness, kind treatment of others, born of humility. Galatians 6 and 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And so we're to be gentle with one another. A brother may be guilty of sin. Let's not be harsh and be mean to that person, but let's approach him with gentleness and kindness, with love. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 and 25, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. And so a servant of the Lord, a Christian, is not to be quarreling, but to be gentle to all, patient. Also, self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. Being able to control ourselves and our bodies. Temperance, ability to hold oneself in, mastering our desires and our passions. We must practice self-control. Yes, we should not be addicted to alcohol or addicted to illegal drugs and addicted to things that are sinful. Yes, when it comes to the things of this world, let's practice self-control. In Romans 8, verse 12 through 14, therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul realized he had to keep his body under subjection. He had to have self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit, virtues that guide our conduct. The application, note that fruit is singular. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit is not fruits of the Spirit, but fruit. All of these are necessary to bear fruit of the Spirit. This indicates that these qualities constitute a unity, all of which should be found in a believer who lives under the control of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces one kind of fruit. Christians are like Christ, when we bear the fruit of the Spirit. One who truly walks in the Spirit will produce all nine virtues, not a partial set. We can't leave one of the nine out just to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Note that fruit is born of the Spirit. It comes by walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16, walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It comes by being led by the Spirit. Yes, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. It comes from those who live in Spirit. Galatians 5, 25 says, live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Without the aid of the Spirit, we cannot bear this fruit. And so the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. Note how one receives the aid of the Spirit. First, one must be born again of water and of the Spirit. John 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Yes, the water is baptism. The Spirit leads us in what we must do to be saved. When we're baptized, we receive the gift of the Spirit. In Acts 2:38, Peter told them, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then one must walk in the Spirit by setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. That is what ensures our living according to the Spirit. In Romans 8 and verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit would be that which the Spirit has revealed to us. The Spirit has revealed to us the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians 6:17. And so the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us through the Word. The Holy Spirit guided the inspired writers in writing the Bible. We can walk in the Spirit by praying for the strength of the Spirit, whose strength enables us to put to death the deeds of the body. Yes, the Spirit will give us the strength to overcome the lust of the flesh. In Romans 8, verse 12 and 13, therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We can receive strength to overcome the lust of the flesh and be led by the Spirit through prayer. Ephesians 3 verse 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. And so we can pray to God. He'll help us to overcome the weakness of the flesh. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Yes, he's able to do that above that which we ask or think. We're aided by the Spirit to the degree that we follow the Word and persist in prayer. Yes, let's not be guilty of walking after the flesh. In conclusion, which would you rather have? A life infused with love, joy, peace by the Spirit of Almighty God, or a life inflicted by hatred, jealousies, outburst of wrath due to fleshly lust? One is the fruit of the Spirit, the other is the work of the flesh. Which would you rather have? A life devoting long-suffering, kindness, and goodness with the help of the Holy Spirit, or a life devastated by contentions, envy, selfish ambitions due to fleshly lust? Which would you rather have? A life of faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control with the aid of the Spirit, or a life exhausted by jealousies, contentions, immorality due to fleshly lusts? And so we have a choice, the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus gives us this choice. Through His blood, He can cleanse us of sin. And through the Spirit, we can empower ourselves to live holy and righteous lives. Are you willing to accept His gracious choice? Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so are you walking after the works of the flesh? Are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Yes, you need to obey God. If you're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, then you're walking after the works of the flesh, and you cannot enter into heaven. To go to heaven, you must obey God. He wants you to be saved. He provides salvation for you. Jesus gave His life to die on the cross for your sins. To become a Christian, you must have faith in God, believe that He is, repent, turn away from your sins to God, make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then be baptized to wash away your sins, the new birth, be born again, water and the Spirit, and then bear the fruit of the Spirit. Be faithful unto death, and you receive a crown of life. And so if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, why don't you come now while we stand and sing the song?